This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Welcome back, guys. GG, Asun, KMOX, a few minutes past 4 p.m. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we get together and we do the think tank and we get a couple of our reasonable, non-bomb-throwing, non-a-hole friends. And, Barklet, you're right on the edge there. I mean, you are the man.
And he's not.
You are the man on the bubble. He's you're charming. Rainford's like... I'm not even trying to be charming, Charlie. Right?
That's kind of true.
Yeah. Like, you're dashing, and Rainford's got that Opie thing, like, shucks, I don't know. I'm just doing my best to keep my hat on.
There's a reason his nickname is Mad Dog.
So you guys were talking about storm relief, and it seemed like you had interesting points going on.
No, I was just asking, because I know Jeff lives in the city, and we had talked about his roof when he was in. I think that was when you were out.
Okay.
We had talked about his roof because it was coming in with a storm, and I think he said something like, boy, I hope the wind doesn't blow it because I still have a tarp. And that was weeks ago. So I asked Jeff about how things were going because my next door neighbor has been volunteering and going down to help somebody in the city to, like, these houses that are super damaged. And we're 3 months in, and, like, debris still hasn't been removed. And, you know, there are people that, I mean, he's there, like, piling the bricks that can be saved and saving them, and they're trying to put things in the dumpster that can't be saved and parts of the roof that can be saved. And I was just asking Jeff, like, how does this, like, they're just trying to figure it out, like, what to do and what the process is and all of that. And it's just been crazy. And then obviously the mayor talked about that, what was it, a week ago?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a have and have nots, and Janet and I, my wife and I, are fortunate to be haves. We have very good insurance, and we're going to be, our house, you know, we'll lose two big trees, but otherwise our house will actually be better than before. But, you know, that the path of the storm went through the wealthy parts of Clayton, the wealthy parts of the city, and then into the, you know, into North St. Louis and the impoverished parts of the city. You know, if you have a house and you may own the property and owe no debt on it, but you have no insurance or very little insurance, just cleaning up a demolished house. The pictures you showed me, those houses are not fixable.
They
have to be demolished. You don't have the money for that. You don't have the money even after you demolish the house to build a new one, and you're waiting for somebody to help you. Well, the city did get $100 million from the state. I don't know what they're going to do with it, and people are eligible for FEMA, but FEMA is not going to make you whole. So, you know, I've said this for the last 2 or 3 months. I really admire what the mayor's trying to do, but this catastrophe... you know, the humanity of it was on day one, but the damage to that neighborhood, I just don't see how it comes back. And the best thing to do is to figure out what is the best way to stabilize families. And it may be to take the FEMA money and the city money and start over somewhere else on a different piece of property. But that's a really hard thing to tell people. So
I know my friends from the black community from the very jump and now are talking about how they fear the gentrification of mercenary people coming in. I see that you need some help here. What if I gave you $100,000 cash right now, and then they build a $600,000 house, and then the culture's gone?
Yeah, and again, I think if you want to do a humanitarian thing, I get why some of these are multi-generational homes. Grandmother had it, then their parents, the house they grew up in, and now they have it. But, you know, if it's going to cost $250,000, $300,000 to tear down and rebuild on that thing, there's not $250,000 to $300,000 per household coming from anywhere, whether it's the city, the state, or FEMA. And at some point, you know, people have to sort of take the emotion out of it and decide, how can I put my life back together? And I think, you know, the mayor declared that she doesn't want a single person to move out of the city. I don't think that's realistic if we want to help these people put their lives together.
I think it's also a symptom of a much larger problem. And that is there is no way we can ensure appropriately moving forward. We were in a period of time where you could insure your car, and you could, if you wrecked it, you could get it replaced, or your house or whatever. But I think we're past that time. I think the financial stability of the insurance system that we have come accustomed to of covering our losses is no longer going to exist in the future or for our children. And so I don't know what the answer is, because, you know, that it's so costly, people can't afford to insure it, but you can't afford not to have insurance. I don't know what the policy answer is, but I think every part of the country is facing
it. And Dave, you're so right. And when I say poor people, I don't mean like, who cares about them? But we're kind of used to that with people who are very impoverished. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about poor people. We're just talking about middle-class people that based on where they live, or if they're in California or Florida, like, yeah, we're State Farm and we have no interest in your business.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it's going to become a thing as the storms. And the other thing about the storms is they're coming up faster with less warning, certainly with hurricanes and tornadoes. With this tornado, I mean, I left home to come down here at 2:30 and 20, not thinking that my house was going to get destroyed. Otherwise, I'd have stayed home to be with my Janet and with our dogs. And 15 minutes later, it was done. I drive back, and by 3 o'clock, the sun is partly sunny, and the neighborhood looked like it got hit by a tornado. I mean, this stuff is the storms are more ferocious. They're happening faster. So it's probably something that we're going to have to figure out collectively, because I don't think the industry itself is going to figure it out to our benefit.
So we normally on the think tank go national to local. Let's do the opposite. The president just hosted the president of Ukraine, and he had the meeting in Alaska with Putin. And as everyone knows, who cares to know, who listens to the show, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, but I'm also a realist, and I also call balls and strikes. And whether he should or not, the guy just kind of keeps winning. Do you agree, Jeff? Like, I know you're not a fan.
Well, I don't disagree with everything he's done. I like what he did in the bombing in Iran. I mean, he has clearly secured the border. But in this situation, I think Putin's playing him for a fool. Now, that doesn't mean somebody won't talk Donald Trump into doing something, doing the right thing for Ukraine. But it feels to me like Donald Trump is playing the role of Hitler, and Trump is playing the role of Neville Chamberlain. And I get, he says, oh, we want peace. Everybody wants peace, but I don't want peace today. And then 3 years from now, we have a world war because Putin lied and invades the Ukraine. So at the end of the day, as long, I don't care what happens and what gyrations we go through, as long as what happens is that the United States and NATO agree that they are going to not give up any one inch of defending the Ukraine from a further or future incursion by the Russians.
Let me, before you jump in, Dave, let me ask this. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm indoctrinated, but I feel like during my lifetime, it was the world is going to police the really bad guys. Now it seems like, hey, we're so pissed at you for invading a sovereign country, but what do we need to fix this thing? What do we need to get a deal? Does that make sense? We seem less disgusted by despots.
Well,
yeah, I'm not, but go
ahead. I'm not so sure. I think that they're having a lot harder time finding people to fight for them, you know, and even the Soviet Union. I think the Soviet Union is having to conscript, which is probably a kind word for what they're doing, to get people to fight. So I'm not sure the young people are as willing to follow into battle as in previous generations. And so that may be a dynamic that sort of self-corrects. But I would disagree politely with Jeff to the extent that I was watching some movies that were about the Reagan era and about how the Soviets thought Reagan would push the button and was so dangerous and everything else. I don't think anybody in this country, we knew it was political hyperbole, you know, that about Reagan, you know, being, you know, finger on the button. But I don't think anybody really credibly thought that. But the Soviets didn't. To that regard, they didn't push us a lot of times under Reagan. I think with Trump, foreign leaders are having to take stock that he's a guy who believes American interest is his interest. He personalizes it, which, you know, could be scary at times, but at the same time, it creates dramatic and dynamic action, and that has proven to be successful time and time again. And look, you've got three different leaders with three very different perspectives here, and it is very personal with Ukraine, obviously, but I'm not sure what Trump could have done differently. Just going in there and trying to defeat the Soviet Union, a proxy war with Ukraine, I'm not sure how practical that is. And so trying to find, you know, peace and stating that up front, that was his goal, just like in Israel or else. I mean, Trump has said, I want peace. I don't want to go wars. I want to get out of wars. But he's taken decisive action to get to that point.
Well, and by the way, that's what Chamberlain and the Europeans said when the Germans went into the Rhineland, went into Austria, they went into Czechoslovakia. They were like, we want peace. Well, guess what? Hitler didn't. Putin wants what he wants. He doesn't want peace. He wants what he wants. And I hate to sound like a Democrat turned neocon, but at some point you have to deal with reality. And the reality is Putin is a liar. Except that he has said what he wants is to put as much of the old Soviet Union back together. We should take his word for it.
Afghanistan, the Soviets wanted Afghanistan. See how that turned out for them. America, Charlie Wilson's war, if anybody read the book, you know, we supplied weapons and everything else and cost the Soviet Union almost their economy and their international position. The same thing's happening in Ukraine. We're cycling out all kinds of our weapons. We're testing them on Russian soldiers. We're finding out what's good, what's not. We're getting a lot of value out of this war without losing many or any American lives. And to that extent, it's being prosecuted very well, I think, by this country. But there's a realization that the Soviet Union may not be what it used to be, but for them to be defeated by Ukraine is not in the cards. For it even to turn out even is going to be very challenging for a foreign dignitary to get the Soviet Union and Ukraine to agree on some common resolution.
What did you guys make of Andrew Bailey being named the co-deputy FBI director?
You know, I think it speaks a lot about Andrew in terms of, you know, that he's an up and coming rising star. I think it speaks the fact that Trump did hear some of his base complaining about Epstein, and Trump is different than most governmental people. Now, I would have never worked for Jeff because he probably would have fired me at the first day. But, you know, Trump actually, if you don't perform what he expects, he fires you.
Like Billy Long.
Yeah. And he loves Billy Long. But Billy wasn't implementing what Trump wanted there, and so he exited. And so to that regard, Trump doesn't suffer fools. He gives people a specific mission. You accomplish it or you're gone. And I think Kash Patel was not accomplishing that, and they needed to bring someone else in. And I think they had tried to get Andrew Bailey in previously. And this time it was sort of like, we have a need. Please come. And Andrew took that call to action.
So Donald Trump's view of loyalty, of his employees being loyal, is different than what a lot of people would view as loyalty. I would view as loyalty, if I was loyal to you, that I'm going to do everything I can to protect your interests. He views loyalty as, I give you an order. I don't care what the order is, whether it's legal, illegal, or anything. I give you an order. You do it the way I want to do it. If I want to cover up the Epstein files, I want you to cover them up. If I want you to release them, I want you to release them. But you got to do what I tell you to do. The Constitution, the law, and your own ethics be damned. And I think I've had lunch with Andrew Bailey before. I think he's a really good guy, but he's all in on MAGA. So I think it's probably a really good pairing.
Yeah. We have about 3 minutes left here. What do you guys think of the federal takeover in D.C.? Is it haunting or is it just practical?
Well, the state took over the police in St. Louis. I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference. I've been in D.C. D.C. Has gotten worse and worse and worse. You can be in the nicest areas and bad things happen. So I think it was necessary. I think, again, Trump does these things to stir up the media more than anything.
Yeah, it's going to be a winner for him, and I'll tell you why. So when Francis was in office, every once in a while, we'd do a surge. A surge was, there's really high crime in this neighborhood, and we'd put all the cops in that neighborhood. And guess what happens when you put all the cops in that neighborhood? Crime goes down. Then, unfortunately, you can't do that because people in the rest of the city want policing, so then you had to take them out of the neighborhood. Well, guess what happens then? Crime goes up. So with this surge, there has to be temporarily a reduction in crime, but it's not sustainable. So then he'll leave, and it'll go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
He'll have put on a nice show. Crime will have gone down. Then after he leaves, crime will go back. back up again because that's the way it works.
I wouldn't put beneath him that he makes even a bigger move permanently on the District of Columbia. There has always been fight after fight between the capital and the national interest and the District of Columbia interest.
Well, if that's the case, then he's going to own a hornet's nest because having a sustained reduction in crime when you have urban issues, poverty, drugs, homelessness, you know, the suburbs constantly dump their problems on the city of St. Louis when we were there. They would actually literally police officers would drive homeless people downtown and drop them off at Larry Rice's place. If he takes it on permanently, that's a whole different ball of wax. And then he's getting into a swamp, and then we'll have to see what happens.
But people don't understand there is a Capitol Police that has a certain area, and there's not a whole lot of crime there. You can extend that. There's a lot of things you can do that actually are sensible that have not happened because someone hasn't had the fortitude or the focus.
All right, this is David Barklage, Jeff Rainford. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. It's cold.
It feels like independence. I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. We also talk a little bit of Cardinals.
Sure.
What'd you think of last night?
Not bad. I mean, you know, you got some offense going, which was not going to be easy, and it won't be easy tonight because Eury Pérez, the starter, is pretty nasty. But thankfully,
and that guy last night was a tall drink of water.
6'8", throwing 9,900 miles an hour. Good thing
like
he was
kangaroo size.
He was, yeah, and he. I don't know why I did the Letterman laugh there. He was a little wild, though, which helped the Cardinals because his pitch count got up and they got him out of the game before he got to five innings completed. And then they got some runs against the back end of the bullpen for the Marlins. And that's where you can get them is when they don't have their premium guys set up and they don't really have a great bullpen.
Yeah.
So tonight's kind of the same challenge, right? Because Edward Cabrera starting and he's similar. He's not 6'8", but he throws 98, strikes a lot of people out, but he also has control issues sometimes. So if you can work deep counts in the first few innings, that's going to work in your favor, and you can get him out of there in the fifth.
So something I haven't asked you guys when, like, Bernie's on or Ricky's on, but let's say that the season ends where it is, which I think is a probably pretty good guess.
Sure.
And the DeWitts have already basically said, yeah, we're not going to be spending any more money, and parentheses, so long as you guys keep not coming to the ballpark, we won't be spending any in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more about where the roster is, less about what the crowd is.
So what do you do? Like, what are the steps you can take in the offseason to have a non-runway season next year?
Next year's not going to be a lot different than this year, not unless players take big steps. So that's number one. You got to develop your players. You got to take the guys like Jordan Walker. Look, you know, it's funny. Like, we've been talking about Nolan Gorman all year. He's been the team's best hitter for almost 2 months. I mean, his season numbers are almost as good as Brendan Donovan's right now, and it's trending in the right direction. So, like, those kinds of guys taking steps forward, and then being smart with acquisitions. Low-cost, smart guys that you can get the most out of, that's how you get better next year.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.